I don't know if you, I can only recommend once again Stories to Inspire.
Thanks so much.
You listen to them.
Oh, yeah.
It's good, no? They have good stories every day. You get
they're short.
3 to 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Stories to Inspire.com.
And you get every day you get a couple of stories. So I want to just share with you the story. I mean, you can probably say it better than me. And it's not today's. I always like, why? No.
Jacobson said
the following story of the Sayyid Vision Tzarebbe. Rabbi Yossi, I want to share this. I think it's a brilliant story. I listened to it with one ear, but I think I got the story right. But there's a disclaimer there. If you see that it's... But I strongly recommend, you do get these emails... every day, two stories, storiestoinspire.com. So, Rabbi Yossi, he says the story that I heard was from Rabbi Jacobson, a tremendous, tremendous person. So, he says a story that he heard firsthand of the Sayyid Vision Tzarebbe's son in law, about the Sayyid Vision Tzarebbe who the story goes like this. There was a Yid who had a shul in Haifa. Haifa is not particularly from community. I don't know which years this happened, okay? You've kind of figured it out. And there was a shul then, there over the shul there. And it was particularly bothered by the fact that it was next door to the shul, there was a shop which was open on Shabbos. And it was a success, and a successful shop. I don't know what it was selling there, but it was open. The main business was on Shabbos. People were buying and going in and going out. And it was kind of, it was disturbing, very disturbing, because all the eating going out of shul on Shabbos morning, Haifa in this place. And everybody goes out, and there's like all this matzav of shop and chil Shabbos and everything. So this Rav Shul went up to the person. He said, listen, I don't think it's right to have a shop open on Shabbos and everything. He says, you know, live and let live. You know, I'm not telling you what to do in your shul. You don't tell me what to do in my shop, kind of thing. You know, and there was a growing tension, because he said, listen, you know, it's just not... you know, you can't make such a chilul Shabbos b'fahesia. It's really terrible. Just stop it and try your best and everything. He said, no, just leave me alone. I'm leaving you alone. You leave me alone. It's my business. It's my panosa. You know, don't chase me. Don't abuse me. Just leave me alone. What's going on? He was really, really bothered about it. And then he at one point, this Rav went up to the Sefer Tzareba. And he told him about it. He says, what should I do about this person? You know, he's bothering Chil Shabbos and everything. So the Sefer Vision Tzarebbe, his incredible wisdom, asked him, tell me, do you love him? He says, loving him? Why should I love him? I don't know, he's Michal Shabbos first. Yeah, I don't love him, no. I don't particularly love him, no. And he says, listen, he's breaking Shabbos. Why should I love him? So the Sefer Vision Tzarebbe told him, so maybe it's the other way around. Maybe it's the other way around. You're saying that you don't love him because he's Michal Shabbos. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe it's Michal Shabbos because you don't love him. Maybe it's the other way around. He says, what? He says, yeah, maybe it's Michal Shabbos because you don't love him. He says, he can feel that you hate him. He can sense it. He's not stupid. So maybe that's the worst thing you want to do. You want to push him. You're pushing him further and further away because you hate him. He's not silly. He says, okay, so what should I do? He says, love him. So, well, what do you mean, love him? He says, love him, and then come back to me. See if the promise is still going to be there. So he said, he didn't know what to do. So, but he tried his best. On Shabbos, instead of going up to him and screaming at him and shouting at him and telling him off, he goes up to him after Shabbos, and he says, good Shabbos to him. He says, get out of here. He says, okay, I'll try again next Shabbos. He tries again next Shabbos. Good Shabbos to you and everything. He said, why don't you come for the kiddush upstairs? He said, what do you mean? He said, yeah, come. And believe it or not, it took a few weeks, but slowly, gradually, things changed. And believe it or not, after a bit of time, he got closer and closer to this Rav, and without any pushing, without any, you know, he slowly got closer and closer until I've got the rest, and the rest is history, of course. He eventually started keeping Shabbos in his own right, and he closed and shut the Shabbos. And of course, Sayyid Vision Tzarebbe was right. It wasn't that. If you love somebody and you truly care for somebody, it makes a huge difference. Beautiful story. And if you want to hear it in more details and more accurately, storiestoinspire.com. Rabbi Yossi, Seif Ches that we're going to be learning today, I'm afraid I'm unable to explain very well, simply because I'm not familiar with the Arab, with the dress of code in Arab countries. in the late Middle Ages. I don't exactly know what he's talking about. He's talking about a kappa. To me, it sounds quite similar to something which I do know quite well.
What's it called?
A kappa. Kappa. To me, just, you know, it sounds like music because it sounds like the coffee, so, which is spelled quite similarly. So, but I don't know what a kaffa is. No, I don't know, this may or may not be still common. It's the kaffa. Let's get a bit of an idea. We're going to get a bit of an idea as we go through the Shulchan Aruch, but I don't have a precise understanding. It might be interesting, but, might be interesting to research.
The thing they
wear, yeah, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that, because that's the mitznefes that we're going to be talking about a bit later. I don't think so. You'll see from context, it cannot be exactly that. So, the kaffa, yeah, not to be confused with the kafi, sheipsucha, which is open, beinin sheish to abba kanfas, on top of page 36, which is open on the four corners. It's got four corners. It is open, and there is four corners. Have you got a picture of a kaffa? Abba kanfas, im yikvulu ba ishtringa. If you connect with it, ishtingas, la soisakusumo, to seal it, that a photo of a tzitzis. You want to patter it exempted from tzitzis. This is in line further to and following to what we learned yesterday. We learned that you got to have arba kanfos. It's got to have four corners. And we learned yesterday that if they are not open and they are not disconnected, but rather they are sealed on the side, and they're connected on the side, that will not be considered arba kanfos, and hence it will be potter from tzitzis, as we discussed yesterday. So now, this kaffa, again, we don't exactly know what it is, but the point is, it seems to be naturally open. But some people, for some reason, I don't know why, maybe for convenience, maybe for comfort, they used to seal these kaffas on the sides. And the way they did it was with these ashtringers. What's an ashtringer, Rabbi Isai? What's an ashtringer? Sounds a bit more Yiddish. I probably pronounce it the Yiddish way. It probably is called, there's probably some Arab, anybody Arabic? A stringa, which is something the equivalent of hooks. That we see from the Mishnah Berurah. There's hooks. So here is the point. They would hook the sides together. Why would they do that? K'delefoto mitzitzis, to exempt it from tzitzis. Why would they be exempt from tzitzis if you hook up this garment, you'd hook the sides together? What's the point of doing that?
There's no corners.
Then there's no corners anymore, because you're hooking up the sides.
All the way to the bottom.
That's exactly what we're going to be looking at now. So the assumption was and is that if you have the two sides, if you have the two vertical sides hooked up with these hooks, these ashtingers, you hook them up, so you're going to be potter from tzitzis. The Shulchan Aruch says, no, hold on a sec. Eino moyel tikkun zeh. This fixing will not help. Im lo yekvu mechatzi orko lemato lekol hapochos. As we discussed yesterday, you've got to have at least a half of the garment. Do you remember we spoke about that yesterday? You've got to have at least 50% of it from the halfway down needs to be open. So here too, if you're hooking it up all the way down, yes, perhaps it's what we talk about. But if you're just hooking it up from half up, there's nothing going. So it's still going to be chayv betzitzis. V'gam, additionally, gam tiyekvu lemate mechagoy, lemanya roiv asosum, roiv hanira lenam. Here comes condition two, and I'm going to finish off the Shulchan Aruch. Deim loikin yosim mishum maris ha'ayin. So what the Shulchan Aruch is telling us over here, never mind the fact that this kafas, you've got to make sure that, further to our discussion yesterday, you're going to make sure that half of it down needs to be sealed if you want to exempt it from tzitzis, although it's going to chayv betzitzis. But never mind that, there's another problem as well, that because it's very revealed and it's very open, you're going to have a problem of maris ha'ayin. I don't know exactly what it looked like. I don't exactly have an idea what the way it presented itself. But for some reason, there would be a problem of maris ha'ayin, because some parts would be revealed, other would be disclosed. It would be, and people would look at, hey, look, he's wearing over a garment with four corners, and yet there is no tzitzis attached. So that's no good, and therefore, because of Maris Ha'ayin, you've got to make sure this sits is onto it. Now, what I do want to point out is something fascinating. Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Lamed. Mishnah Berurah says, what if you have this talus cotton? What if you've got a talus cotton if you wear this kafa or any other talis cotton, which really is exempt from tzitzis, but you would probably want to put a tzitzis on because of maris ha'ayin. But you put it under your shirt. Would maris ha'ayin still, would there be a problem? Would you have to attach tzitzis because of maris ha'ayin? So again, this kafa over here that we're talking about is a problem maris ha'ayin. That's where you got to attach tzitzis because it's on your, it's on top of it. Okay, I understand. Shulchan is teaching us, you got a problem maris ha'ayin. Okay. Mishneh Berurah discussed it and said, but Lamed, what about, would it be a maris ha'ayin if you put it underneath? Very good. So I would have assumed, you're so right, Gemara tells us that if you've got something maris ha'ayin, Gemara says, afilu b'chadei chadorim, there's a problem maris ha'ayin. However, the Mishneh Berurah here takes, quotes Rebbe Akiva Eiger, fascinating, who says that not so. Ha'ilich betalis cotton, tomitachs b'godov, after ha'ilich b'shuz rabbi mu'atzneh, yesh l'hatir d'lo yishayich b'zeh maris ha'ayin, he brings from Rebbe Akiva Eiger, and it seems like a pastor's like that, there's no maris ha'ayin underneath your garments, which is really, really interesting to know, because nobody would assume there's always going to be, yeah, which is very interesting, very interesting. Okay, Rabbi, so we carry on with Steve Tess. New topic, haknofayim, the corners, tzorich shimru bois, they must be square. You got to have square corners, we mentioned that previously. Veloy, and not shetiagulois, and not that, and it shouldn't be rounded. The problem is that there's plenty in between. I understand they must be square, and I also understand they mustn't be round. But there's plenty of levels in between, and that is the problem. How do we define a corner? So Mishneh Berurah says, "Shumu boys, the ain igul nikkel knaf." The reason why you can't have a round corner because a corner, by definition, is square. Corner by the poskim, the more contemporary poskim, want to analyze, define it. It's really hard to know because at times you can see. At times you can see they're not very square, especially older tzitzis. That sometimes they tend to get a bit more. So is that a problem or not? How do you define square? And I think we mentioned last time that with the tefillin, we know it's got to be very square. Does it need to be as square as tefillin? How do we do it?
You just use your vision.
Yeah, so it probably is true that we look at vision, but even within vision, I suppose, it depends on the distance. Yeah, but you're right. The Maaser, the Poskim say it's kefir oizainayim. If something looks and appears to be square, it's fine. If not, not. But I will point out of here something which the Poskim point out. You will often notice, and it's very frequent, that when a person wears tzitzis, and even by the Talas Gadol, you will notice that they fold. Have you noticed that? Can I have a talus? Is that talus here? Where? Right. I will point out that this. What do you think about this, Abbas?
But they still got corner there. It's just.
Or more common than that is even this. Now, what would be the question? Yeah, there's ala knaf, which is another discussion which we'll get to, because that's also very common, and that is a real problem. That is a real problem. If it's like this, if it's hanging down, that's a real problem. We will get to that. That is a real problem if it's hanging down, because you've got to have it on the side. It needs to be ala knaf. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that, but not now. But now I'm addressing something else. Now I'm addressing the fact that is this a corner or not?
Well, it's still a corner, it's just
right, so the argument is definitely, you could argue, but you hear the problem. We now discussed extensively, you've got to make sure that it's a square and not a round corner. Shulchan Aruch is telling us, so is this called merubah or not? Do you hear the problem? Is this square? So many will argue, yes, it is square. Just because you're folding it, doesn't make it not square. What do you say, Reb Gideon? Is that square or not? Still square because the garment is square. Does it appear to be square? It doesn't appear to be square. So there is, never mind maris ha'ayin, but there is an argument to say that a tzitzis shouldn't be positioned like that, and one should ensure that it is like that. And you will see that the Yidden are very makbit, whether it's the talis cotton or the talis gadol, that they make sure that you can visibly see a corner. There's definitely makom to be machmir in that. You can't say it's also to have it folded, but there's certainly a hiddur to have it in a way that you could see clearly that it's a corner. We just said that, you know, there's a, it needs to be ala knaf. Right, okay. Mitznefes petura seif yud. A mitznefes, which is what? It's a hat. Afilu shal arzves amarev. Even from those countries, sheshnei rosher mushlochim al ksefem v'gufam. This is, I think, very much what you're referring to. A head covering that goes, which spreads out onto the shoulders. Rosher mushlochim al kisfem, that its edges spread out onto the shoulders, the gufam, even on, all the way down till the body, which we would call what? Yeah, I was wondering about that as well. Yeah, I'm not sure. Literally, of course, you're right. I'm not sure. I'm not sure which countries actually wore it. I don't know. Despite the fact that you the majority of your body is covered with that head covering, it's potter from tzitzis. Why? Because the intention, the main purpose of this garment is to cover your head. Since the intention, the purpose, the main purpose of the garment is to cover your head, therefore it is exempt. The pasuk says, "Ksuscha." The Torah says, "Ksuscha," your garment, "Veloi ksus harosh," and not something which is to, its purpose is to cover your head. So, well, that's probably the. I mean, we've, the turban.
The, like the Arab, not turban, like
the
Arab
Sikhs.
The Sikhs, what do they wear?
Turban.
Turban kind of thing. It goes down.
No,
it's got four corners.
They tie theirs up. No, like the Arabs wear the
kafir.
Tea towel.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's right, yeah. So those, if they go down, we're learning now, even if you've got four corners, you're not going to put a tzitzit. Would be quite good, actually. Imagine that, yeah? You've got this head covering tzitzit coming out. You'll make it in social media, there's no doubt about it. So the question is, would that be chayuv potum tzitzit? The answer is no. There's no chayuv tzitzit onto that because ksuscha amrachman, the apostle is talking about a chayuv tzitzit on a ksus, on a garment, and something which covers your head is not considered a garment. Do you know, you sometimes have, these caps that sometimes have, you know, down, there's also this. Beekeepers, what do they have?
It's like a hat, it's got like a.
Oh, right. It's also got four corners.
Yeah,
okay, good. So the answer would be, it would be potter from tzitzis because you've got to have a ksus which is covering your body and not primarily your head. That perhaps, I wonder, Rabbeisai, we mentioned the scarves the other day. What is your opinion on the scarves in this regard? Because Mishmu touches on it.
Regular scarf.
Your regular conventional scarf.
Not that to cover your head, it's that to cover your neck.
Yeah, well, that is that. Does everybody agree to that? Is that cover? Is a ksuscha? Right. yeah. So. See, I don't know if there will be a real. The Chachamim discussed the scarf. I don't know if it's really there to protect. Is it? I mean, it's there to protect your neck, arguably, yeah? Is that what it is? Generally, it's for the neck. I know some people, depends on your system, the way you put your scarf on. But generally, I think we'll agree, some people like it for their body as well. But I think primarily it's for the neck. Is that correct? Yeah? So if so, the question is the neck part of the body or is it part of the extension of the head? Is it ksuscha or is it not ksuscha? Would you say that it's really covering your? Because we all know that a person's heat, you leave most of your heat. from the head, right? That's what they say, yeah? Is that the head, the heat escapes from, that's where people, you know, you go, in the cold weather, you've got to make sure that your head is covered well, because that's where the heat leaves, that's where you lose most of your heat. So I would assume, so the question is the neck part of your head, or is the neck part of your body? Interesting question. So I would, you could argue, I mean, I wonder if you could probably argue that it might be part of your, maybe when we talk about the head, it's not just talking about the upper part of the head, but you could argue the neck is also part of the head. Do you think that makes sense to say? If it is correct to say so, then it would be exempt from tzitzis because it's not ksuscha. You gotta have a head covering, doesn't exempt you from, head covering is not exempt from tzitzis. It's not chayav tzitzis. So perhaps you could argue that. It could be, I'm not 100% convinced, but it could be that's what Sifu's Aleph is referring to. You see, because these are Arabic garments. So, Suda Shenosim al Tzav of Malchus Eretz Yisrael. I don't exactly know what it is. That what people wear, I don't know if it's a shawl or a, really, maybe it is a scarf-ish kind of thing. But Malchus Eretz Yisrael, Shenikra be'arovi Shid. Anybody knows what a Shid is in Arabic? V'chein Boike, Shenosim b'Sfad al Ksivim, also what the Spanish people wear on their shoulders, which is called a buka. I don't know what, no idea, but it's talking about exempt. What's that? What's that? What is it? I know the hats of the Mexicans. Yeah, it goes together with the music, you know? Yeah, okay. So that would be exempt from, I don't know for sure exactly what it is, but it sounds like. So Mishmur says, Pturim, in Zivkot Lamedalad explains, Avshem Machsegoy Sachticho Ka'amo Masayim, could be this very long garment, over two, it could even be one or two amas. It's probably potu. Now, what he's mitzayin to the bialocha is that it is the words in bialocha is as he says, lechshiv lekrin ashat chaseboy. It's not really a it may be protecting you, it may be covering you, but it's not really a garment since it's not really a normal conventional garment. It's excluded. It's not. It is hard to have clarity in this because we don't exactly know what this garment is. If anybody wants to research this further, what exactly the garment says Shulchan Aruch is talking about, it's interesting. The poskim, the mefarshim, don't seem to be explaining exactly the details of this garment. Yeah. Because what? Yeah, I mean, he does talk in Bialocha about it, that you put it over your over your shoulders and you put it in, it comes out in the front. The reality, you may have to do with Sifud Beis, which you're going to do tomorrow, Beis Hashem, which is talking about other garments, which there, we've got a bit more clarity why it's exempt, which has to do with two in front, two in the back, which we will discuss the Emet Shem tomorrow, so maybe we'll postpone that discussion for tomorrow, Beis Hashem. Okay, Rabbi, so to summarize what we learned this evening. Rabbi. Yeah?
Isn't it a poncho?
A poncho? Yeah. It was mentioned that perhaps that might be. But again, we'll have to look at it tomorrow again because it may be connected to that discussion. We'll be looking at it tomorrow, Mitzchem. We spoke about a kafra boisai, which with the hooks. Hooks are not significant. We've got to keep in mind Maris Ayin as well. We spoke about the corners being square, not round. We spoke about head covering being exempt because you've got to be ksuscha v'lo ksusarosh. We spoke about the shoulds. And having said that, we wish you a very good evening, and I do wish you a very good Tanis as well tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. And we will be having Shibbe Hashem tomorrow evening, so looking forward. Okay.